Welcome to Media Mavens,
a bi-weekly podcast where we discuss our favorite
or not so favorite
movies, shows, and games.
I'm Pam.
I'm Riley.
Let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of Media Mavens. I'm Riley, and I'm here with my co-host, Pam.
Hello.
And this week, it's just the two of us, and we've got a lot to talk about, and we ended up with a lot of listener questions, so we'll get into those later. But how have you been, Pam?
I've been pretty good. I've been sort of recovering from a hangover a little bit for the last 2 days. but other than that, good. Been playing lots of games and watching lots of stuff. How about you?
Well, I just got back from a two-week vacation, so I've been adjusting to going back to work, which has sucked.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
I had a lot of time to, basically all I had was my phone while I was out there, so I had a lot of time to read on my Kindle and watch movies, like, on the plane or with my family that I was staying with. I don't have a lot of stuff that I've played, but I've definitely watched and read a lot of stuff. Let's start out with what you've been up to.
Sure. So I'm playing the Cartridge Club Game of the Month for August, which is Beyond Good and Evil. Which I was really excited about because that's one of my favorite games. It's a action adventure game on the PlayStation 2. Although actually, I think it's basically on every console that was out at that time. But I'm having a lot of fun with it. My only issue right now is sometimes the camera controls are a little wonky, but it's a lot of fun, and it just has so much stuff to do. Like, there's action and fighting and stealth. There's photography. You, like, take pictures of all these creatures, and you, like, log them, and you get paid for it.
Oh,
and
cool.
There's, hovercraft racing. So it's just really, there's just a lot to do, a lot of variety. And it makes me feel like Ubisoft should have sort of stopped here and, like, went in this vein for their games rather than the, like, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, like, gather everything, capture every point kind of thing. I think that would have been really cool, and I would probably play more of their games if they were a little more contained like this one.
Yeah. Yeah, the, I find the Assassin's Creed games are getting too big.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the first one. I don't think I've played the second one, but then all of the other ones, I've seen them be played, and it's like, they're just so big, and I don't know. I like the shorter story games if I can get them.
Yeah, me too. I played Black Flag. I think it was free on Xbox at some point, so I started it, and just, like, you open up the map, and there's just so much shit on it, just, like, icons everywhere for, like, treasures and things to fight and things to collect and things to capture, and it's just, like, what is the actual story here? Is this just, like, a grinding collection game, or is there something else I should be doing?
Is that the ship one?
Yeah.
Where you do ship battles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all I know about it. Yeah. Is that there are ship battles.
Other than that, I've been playing a lot of Overwatch. I just finished my placement matches today.
Oh.
For the new competitive season.
How'd you do?
I won 6, lost 2, and tied 2.
Oh.
Which was...
That's really good.
Which was... I think, yeah, it was a lot better. Like, first season, I went 4-6, so it's definitely an improvement this time. But I'm not totally sure how the ratings work now, because they've moved it up so that there's 5,000 rating points that you can be. So... I remember in the first season, going 4-6 put me at 45 out of 100. And then I think you said you went 6-4 and you were at 55?
Yeah.
So, like, that made sense. And so I was expecting my ranking this season to be a little higher, but it was only, like, 20-50.
Hmm.
So I guess
Which is, like, middle of the pack? now?
Yeah. So it put me in like the gold ranking, but I'm not sure like how much you need to get. Maybe you can't place that high. Like maybe you can only place up into like, I don't even know what's after gold. But
platinum. I know there's a platinum level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I only had time to like skim over the notes. Yeah. So I'm not too sure.
So I'm not sure how that works, but I'm glad that it competitive is back. And
thank goodness.
I saw you talking about wanting competitive back. Is it because you want to play it or because you want all the assholes to go back there?
Both. Having, like, going into a quick match after competitive, the first season was over. I was like, oh, good. I'm excited. I'm going to play some Overwatch. And then it was just the worst games I've ever played.
Oh.
Like, people were, like, not on the points. They weren't doing objective stuff. They were dying, like, so much. And mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just like, and then having the competitive bit, you at least have people who, for the most part, are trying.
Yeah.
And, like, trying to do their best to win. Whereas competitive or quick match felt like, I don't think I won a single game. I won.
Oh, no.
I remember at the very end of the night seeing the XP boost for winning the mm-hmm. first match of the day.
Oh.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So hopefully now that it's back, quick match will either be a little more palatable mm-hmm. or I should just always play competitive. But competitive makes me like really anxious.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Or I just need to like make sure that I get a group of friends and only ever play with friends because I feel like I should have learned my lesson by now.
Yeah. I've been playing with Will occasionally, although he's sort of down the WoW rabbit hole now. But
yep.
I should play with friends more because I while competitive wasn't a thing, I was playing quick match and I was just getting so angry because no one cares at all about team comp in quick match. Like no one will be a tank or no one will be a healer. I was actually like mean to people in game for like the first time, which I felt kind of bad about because I don't want to be one of those people. But I was like, we were attacking in Hollywood and two people were Widowmaker and they couldn't find anywhere to go sit and snipe people, and they were just like shuffling around on the road with their sniper rifles off, and I was so angry. So I was like, do we really need two Widowmakers on offense? And one was like, I picked it first, it's not my problem. And I was like, you're both terrible, neither of you should be Widowmaker.
I had Yeah, I guess the thing with competitive that's nice is it's like one hero. Mm-hmm. You can't hero stack.
Yeah.
So at least you know, everybody is picking something different. I had, I think two people picked Hanzo.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else said, I don't think we really need two Hanzos.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third person picked Hanzo.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so we're losing this one then.
Yeah, that happens. Once I was playing with Will, and just to like sort of troll me, he picked Mei because it was a map that I always play Mei on. And then we had two Meis, and then I guess people thought that was a thing, so then everyone else picked Mei.
Oh, no. That's like, no, wait.
It was just a joke. But I'm enjoying it. I really like that they fixed the bug that made Mei's ice wall sometimes just not appear.
Yeah.
That was happening to me a lot. So I'm happy that they fixed that and they made the blizzard bigger. So mm-hmm. I've been enjoying playing. And I think I'm better than I was last season. Like I've learned things.
Nice. Do you like the new map? Have you played on it at all?
I played once in the Brawl, which was on that map, and then I've only actually like randomed into it once. But it's cool. It takes a little while to sort of learn all the little nooks and crannies and things.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No. Because it came out after the Legion launch, I think. Or right around the same time.
Right.
So I've been playing Legion. After I said I would probably never play WoW again, here I am.
There you are. other than that, so I'm like playing a ton of things basically. I've discovered hidden object games, which are
what is that?
It's like there's a story to it, and you have to, it's like a little adventure game with puzzles and things, but half of the puzzles are finding objects. So you get a screen, like, what were they called? There were these books where you would like have to find objects in a screen, like, or a photograph of just all this stuff.
Oh.
And it'll just list things like find a bird, find a snail shell, find a pencil, and right, you just right, right. have to find them. So these ones I found, they're called Nightmares from the Deep, and a couple of them are on Xbox One, and it's just sort of like super chill. I find some objects. There's other puzzles like sliding block puzzles or inventory or mahjong tile matching puzzles, and I feel accomplished because nothing's too difficult. So I've been playing those and actually kind of liking them. I wish there were more. I don't think there's a ton. I think they're mostly a mobile game thing, so there's not a whole lot of them on console. And I started playing the new Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. I hated it at the start. Like, I didn't like it at all. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I'm impatient for stealth. Like, the very first mission, you get to the end of it, and I did go through it stealthily, so I didn't kill anyone. And at the end, there's a helicopter, and it says, keep the helicopter from taking off, and it's surrounded by bad guys. So I assumed I had to take out the bad guys so that they wouldn't get in the helicopter and take off.
Right.
And I tried it like multiple times, and I just kept dying until I looked it up and found out I was supposed to like go around back of the helicopter and take the battery out of it or something to stop the helicopter. So, yeah, the first couple of missions were just really, I never knew what to do or where to go, and I was getting pretty frustrated. But now that I've sort of gotten a little bit more used to what it wants from me, it's getting better. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I'll probably finish it, but it's,
but I'm not gonna like it.
I'm not gonna like it. but it's okay. It's, it seems like, I guess I heard someone say that it's a game that says a lot without saying anything. Like, there's all, I mean, there's all the controversy sort of about it, them using the Og Lives Matter.
Yeah,
in marketing and
mechanical apartheid,
yeah. So it sort of like tries to make that connection sometimes, although it's not a good connection to make at all, just because the people who are sort of being discriminated against in Deus Ex are people who are mechanically augmented, so they're like much stronger and faster and things than normal people. And at one point, a couple of years before the story started, they like killed a whole bunch of people because of some like signal that went out that made them all go nuts and start killing people. So it's not like a very good parallel.
No.
And then it sort of just brings in a whole bunch of things, like there's something that sort of seems a little bit like Soma, where they want some of the Ogs to like upload themselves to the internet or whatever, and like their consciousness can live in there. But it just sort of like is touching on all these things without actually delving very deeply into them, at least so far from what I've seen. But yeah, it's okay. I like the hacking mini games, and now that I know what to do with stealth, I like crawling around in vents and things and using my tranquilizer dart on everyone.
Yeah, sneaky route.
Yeah, exactly. Although so many times I'm just really impatient and I get caught and then I die.
Ow.
Other than that, I played, when I was at Mel's on Friday, we played a game called Broforce, which Broforce, which is a couch co-op game on PS4, and it's sort of like a action platformer, and you play as action heroes like Chuck Norris or Ripley or Bond or like one of the Men in Black people, Rambo, The Bride, like there's a whole bunch of them, and it just sort of cycles between them, so you just get randomly assigned one and then you die and then you continue on as another one, and it was pretty fun. Like, it's really goofy. There's lots of explosions and lots of sort of friendly fire deaths and things, but it was really fun, especially since we were pretty drunk, so we were just like playing this and blowing ourselves up and screaming. But it was fun, and I always like couch co-op games because they don't seem to make a whole lot of them anymore.
No, yeah, it's funny, I was having this conversation this weekend, or maybe last weekend, about how, like, Destiny, for example, mm-hmm. if I wanted to play it with my boyfriend, I would have to get my own copy, even though we already own a console and, like, a couple controllers, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that there are still some, like, couch co-ops around.
Yeah, there's not a ton, but when I find them, I tend to sort of hang on to them, so.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I'm playing is Phantasmagoria, which is part of, Steam just released a whole bunch of Sierra adventure games, and so I picked up, they were all on the Humble Bundle too, so I picked up the whole bundle of them. And it's a full motion video game, which I love full motion video games. And it's made by Roberta Williams, who is the woman who made the King's Quest series. Oh. And except this game is like super, super dark and violent. Like, so much so that, I mean, because it's real, like, it's real actors and things doing this stuff, I don't think it would be made now. Like, wow. Like, it's really, really violent. Like, the story is this woman who you play as and her husband have moved into this house, which is, like, haunted by the spirit of this man who killed all his wives. And oh. his spirit sort of takes over her husband. And as you wander around, you can, like, witness how the man murdered all of his wives, and they're oh. really violent and, like, oh really bad. Like,
yikes.
So it's kind of funny. I didn't hear a whole lot about this game being controversial when it came out. I remember because Night Trap was only a couple years before Phantasmagoria, and that caused a bunch of controversy. When playing it now, it's just, like, silly, like, really goofy. Like, it's not, I mean, there's violence, I guess, but it's super silly-looking violence. And in this, it's just like, holy shit, I can't believe they're doing this.
Oh my gosh. Wow, I guess that's, like, a product of the time that it's made in.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that now, yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah, I think there would definitely be a lot of issues if yeah. were to try to come out now. So that's it for me for games.
Yeah, so I played a little bit of Overwatch before I went away, and it was mostly frustrating. And so I'm looking forward to setting aside some time to going back into the competitive mode
mm-hmm.
once I free myself from the shackles of World of Warcraft. Yeah, it's funny. Since I got back, all I've been playing is World of Warcraft, pretty much. And it's weird because I didn't buy the expansion ahead of time. I, you know, the last, what is it, like, five expansions? Because this is the sixth, maybe four then, because I didn't stay up for the midnight release of the very first, the original game. Mm-hmm. But I've always, you know, known, like, everything I could figure out. I've looked it up, made sure that I knew what I was doing to get ready for raids, to get ready for leveling. Mm-hmm. I would buy the game ahead of time and stay up and play it as soon as it released on the East Coast, which would be, 3 a.m.
Right.
So this year was weird because I have been pretty removed from WoW news aside from like seeing it come up on my Twitter feed. So I almost like forgot that Legion was coming out. So I ended up picking it up the day it released, but after work.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of getting into it and being really pleasantly surprised at how much I'm enjoying it. Whether or not that's because I'm just excited to have new content in World of Warcraft or because it's actually good this time around, they're probably about even. Because the questing is really fun. Yeah, this is like the first time where I think I've actually like taken my time to level. I turned off the experience bar. I like went into it knowing nothing. So all of the quest lines and everything were brand new to me. And they were really good. Really emotional for some of them as well, which I was kind of surprised by. And yeah, and I still haven't finished all of the questing zones and I'm already max level, which I'm not sure if that was supposed to happen, but it did anyway.
Yeah, I think there's usually, like, you usually have a zone or two left over at the end.
Yeah.
I think Will was telling me that the zones don't have specific levels. Like, you can go to whichever one first.
Yeah.
That's which cool. Is
really, really nice. So they all scale to whatever level you are. And the dungeons do that as well.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, so you could be running a dungeon, like a regular dungeon at 110 and there could be like a level 102 with you, but you still like the mobs to them are 102 and the mobs to you are 110.
Oh,
which is really cool. I don't know how they did it, but it's really impressive. And you just like pick whichever zone you want to go to, and there's no clear like, okay, now you go to this one, then you go to this one. There's no like leveling route like that. You can just kind of go wherever you want to.
Well, yeah, I've cool. really also makes been it enjoying less, it. Less busy in all the starting zones and things.
Yeah, I haven't really noticed a lot of people, but then like I wasn't in like the first leveling rush for everything, so.
Right.
Yeah, and I got to the end game part and there's a lot to do, which is kind of overwhelming. So I'm finishing the last zone and like occasionally going back to the, I guess, end game zone. There's Suramar, which is the end zone where all of the like level 110 content specifically takes place for like dailies and stuff like that. So there's still are dailies, but they're not exactly the same. They're world quests now and they like rotate and different ones pop up every once in a while. Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun just, like, doing whatever I want instead of, like, frantically gearing up to raid.
Right.
Which is probably part of why I'm enjoying it so much.
Yeah, probably. That was always sort of a pain. There was such a huge rush to get to max level and then do your dungeons and start grinding rep and be of a decent gear level. So yeah. Must be nice to just take your
None
time.
None of that now. Yeah. It's really nice. It's cool. They added artifact weapons for each class. So when you get to the Broken Isles, you don't, like, there aren't weapon drops anymore. You quest to get, like, your specs artifact weapon. And so you can eventually get all of the weapons for all of your specs. So, like, for druids, I have all four of them right now.
Okay.
And you go through and you can power them up. And so depending on which weapon you power up, you could get, like, different skills associated with that weapon. So, like, the tank one, I think, makes it so you don't take any damage for, like, 3 or 4 seconds, and you get, like, increased armor, and then you can upgrade that, and then you could upgrade, like, some of your defensive abilities. Kind of like a talent tree, but for your weapon. And the weapons come with different appearances, so depending on, like, your questing progress or your class hall progress or your raid progress, you can, like, change the color or the appearance of your weapons. And so for druids, you can change the appearance of your different forms. So oh, that's the neat. Cat form right now looks really cool. And like one of the bear ones, for example, is like you're covered in like it's like you're made of like rocks almost. So you're like a giant like rock bear. It's really cool. And I thought I wasn't gonna like not having weapon drops, but it's actually made it a lot less stressful.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I was thinking about how it would be weird to not have weapon drops because those are sort of the things people look forward to the most. But then yeah. also thinking about back in Mists and the were they no, they weren't legendary weapons, but the like how if you tried to raid and you had a shitty weapon, especially as a DPS, like you just sucked.
Yeah.
So I guess if everyone has it to begin with, that's sort of good, and it evens out the playing field a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like a little less that you have to try and I guess work towards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still have to work towards powering it up, which now that I've hit max level and put a couple talents and stuff in there, it's definitely not something that's going to happen right away. Like, the cost gets higher and higher each time, so
mm-hmm.
it's definitely something that I think they're meaning to have it last a little longer. But yeah, I, like, there's been so many good quests, and a lot of, like, everything is voice acted.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is a nice new change. And there are a lot of cinematics. Like, it breaks up the questing experience really nicely. Gosh, yeah. Like, if... I feel like, say, if you were thinking about jumping into World of Warcraft, now is the time. And if you buy the new expansion, you get a level boost so you can jump into the new content right away. And they've added, what are they called? Class trials. So if you're not sure what kind of class you want to try, you can get... like you can try a max level character of that class for a little bit and see if that's something that you would like instead of leveling it up the whole way and figuring out that you hate it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so there's definitely enough to keep me occupied for playing casually, which I'm kind of excited about because I don't need to get into raiding again at all. It's yeah. not something that I want to do. So yeah, it looks like there will be enough to like hopefully keep my interest for a little while and just kind of putter around. And there's even a fishing artifact weapon, like, you know, it's just like there's so many like cool little things. And yeah, I've really been enjoying it, and it came as a nice surprise because the last expansion was really shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm really happy with it so far. So
good.
Yeah, and it's taken up like every waking hour. As it did before, so yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. Let's get into what you've been watching.
Well, Will and I have been continuing on our Star Wars watching. So I think last time we had just watched A New Hope. So now we've also watched Empire and Jedi and The Force Awakens, and the last one we watched was The Phantom Menace. Just so bad. Like, Will really wanted to watch it. I told him, like, it's not good. Like, you're not going to like it. You're going to be super bored. But he's like, no, I want to see little Anakin. And I was like, okay. So we went out and, like, got the Blu-rays, and it was so bad. Like, the CGI just looks like garbage now. Like, everything looks bad. Sometimes the actors are talking like to Jar Jar Binks or whatever, and they're not even really looking in the right spot. And I don't even know how they got, like, Ewan McGregor is the only not terrible part
about it. Yeah, he's like the one redeeming thing about those three movies.
But like, I don't know how they made Natalie Portman and Liam Neeson into shitty actors. Like, it's just oh, it's so weird. Like, there's so much exposition and like political stuff. Like, they're always talking about trade blockades and the mm-hmm. Senate and Metachlorians, and it's just like oh, it's so bad. And then the worst thing is that your main character is like 8 or something, and he's not even like one of the kids from Stranger Things who's a good actor and not annoying. It's like a really annoying child actor. And I was so angry at the end of at the end of the movie where they had to, like, destroy some ship to take down a shield, and he just, like, blows it up by accident. He just, like, gets in a ship, and he's like, oh no, what's happening? It's flying itself! And it just, like, flies in with the other pilots, and then he blows up the ship by accident. I was so mad. Even watching Return of the Jedi, because I hadn't seen the extended editions in like a long time, and just seeing how much stuff they did, like that whole musical number in Jabba's palace, it was so ridiculous. Like, I don't even understand. And then at the end, where I actually did like where they put some of the locations from Phantom Menace into there, but then they showed Obi-Wan and Yoda and Anakin in the fire, and it was like new Anakin, and I just like booed at the television. I was just like yelling in anger. So I don't know, I feel like Will's Star Wars interest has sort of waned after we watched that, but I think we'll probably finish the series. I've only myself seen the clone Attack of the Clones, I think that's what it's called. I think I've only seen that one once, so
Yeah, they're all pretty bad, so.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. But, the music is, like, the only good thing about it.
But yeah. And Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
He's just so excited to be there.
Yeah.
Everybody else doesn't seem like they're super stoked.
No. And also the script is bad.
It doesn't help that the writing was terrible, so. Yep.
I also watched through season one of The Americans, which is something I've heard a lot of people talk about. One of my favorite podcasts is Idle Weekend, and they talk about The Americans on there occasionally, and they just rave about it. It's about two KGB agents in, like, the 80s, I guess. Yeah, I guess it would be the 80s during the Cold War. So they live in America, and they're this married couple who, when they started their mission, like, didn't know each other at all. So they were just sort of placed together, went to America to just pose as regular Americans. They had to, like, have a family, but these people were sort of strangers at the beginning of it. And the season starts, and the man is sort of feeling like, hey, we've been in the States for, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, maybe we should just be actual Americans. But the woman is, like, very loyal to Russia, so she doesn't want that. And it sort of gets into, like, you know, this wasn't a real relationship to begin with, but they've been together for all this time, sort of like making it a real relationship. Like, we've got kids and everything together. So, and then it just sort of gets more and more complicated. A new family moves in next door, and the man there is a CIA agent who works on, like, anti-KGB stuff. So there's just, like, so much dramatic tension. And I found once I got about halfway through the first season, I was just really hooked, because it just gets so intense. Like, there's so many, like, agents and double agents and triple agents, and everyone, like, trying to go out and get their sources and get them to, like, spill on either CIA side of things or KGB side of things. And it's really, really good. I'm looking forward to watching some more of it.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
It's got Carrie Russell.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't remember the guy's name, but it's really good. They play good parts, and they're always, like, dressing up as other people, like, undercover, and it's very exciting. I also watched Your Next, which is a horror movie that a couple people have mentioned over the last few weeks. So it's basically this family, like, this rich family has a get together, and while they're having dinner, someone starts shooting at them with a crossbow, and so someone's just trying to pick everyone off, basically. And there's a couple twists. The sort of first one, I don't know if this is a spoiler. It's like, because the premise of it is, like, everyone's just, like, sort of a mouse caught in a cage and there's all these like killers outside, except one person in the house is like this secret like
they know fighter. What's going on.
Oh. So one of them is like fighting back and like killing them back. But then there's even more twists after that. So it was pretty good. It was sort of like darkly comedic in addition to being a horror movie. Like the family that's meeting together, they're quite dysfunctional, and so there's a lot of sort of dark and funny lines in it, but it was pretty good. I liked watching that. And then the last thing I watched on Netflix was a comedy special called Ali Wong Baby Cobra. It was really good. It's this woman who is one of the writers on Fresh Off the Boat, which is a show I really like.
Yeah.
And she was, as she's performing in this, she's 7.5 months pregnant, and just her comedy is really funny. Like, she talks about how feminism is the worst thing to ever happen. She's like, you know what our job used to be? No job. She's like, thanks, ladies, for giving up our secrets. So it's pretty funny. I also started watching this with Mel on Friday, and since we were pretty drunk, we thought it was like the most hilarious thing we'd ever heard. And then I watched like the end of it yesterday. So it
still was, funny.
Still funny. Still
yeah,
funny.
That's
not,
good.
Not like as funny, but still funny.
That's good.
Yep. What have you been watching?
I've watched a lot of movies, and that's mostly because I was able to watch like two on the plane rides, both ways. So I watched Batman versus Superman, which was actually as terrible as I've heard.
Okay.
it was weird. It's like Batman is basically pissed at Superman because he like wrecked part of the city, and like it kind of takes the beginning part kind of takes place at the end of the first Superman movie with Henry Cavill. Mm-hmm. So his Superman movie, and so you see like Wayne Tower or whatever like getting destroyed, and like Bruce Wayne is mad at Superman for destroying the city and putting people in danger, and then it ends up being like this weird pissing contest between Batman and Superman, where Batman is like trying to find out like how he can stop Superman, and Superman actually at first doesn't seem like he cares at all. He's just trying to do his job. Mm-hmm. And he even like, they want to put Superman on trial, and he goes to the trial, and you know, bad things happen there. And so of course it's like a setup, which mm-hmm. I was so mad because I was like, I fucking knew it like the whole time. I was like, anyway, the only like redeeming part of it was that we get to see Wonder Woman for the first time. Mm-hmm. And she is so badass, and you get to see like her golden lasso. Mm-hmm. And like she is like basically indestructible and has to hold the end like monster boss down so that Superman and Batman can kill it, but she obviously could probably have done it herself.
Right.
Yeah, it was just terrible, and it was like the acting felt like super stilted. Mm-hmm. And all of it felt like it was happening for no reason. Like, it was just...
Yeah, the idea is stupid. Like, Batman getting mad at Superman for destroying stuff. Like...
Yeah. Like, it's like Batman is, like, the protector of, you know, the normal people or whatever. And Superman's an alien that just comes in and, like, wrecks a bunch of shit. But, like, nobody could have fought off the aliens that he fought off. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It was weird, and I didn't like it at all.
And just the idea of Batman versus Superman. Like, Batman's superpower is that he's rich. Yeah. Like, Superman actually has superpowers and could like squish Batman like a little bug.
Yeah. And like what's his face? The guy that plays Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg. Mm-hmm. He basically plays his character from the Facebook movie. it's like the same, like fast talking, super nerdy rich dude. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were trying to go for like a Joker kind of perspective on him. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, like not like the Lex Luthor that I thought he would be. He was like louder and talked really fast, and I was expecting more, like, you know, cold, like, calculating and, like, making all these plans in the background. But no, it was all over the place, and I wouldn't recommend seeing it if you were thinking about it.
Yeah, I wasn't really. I haven't even seen the Superman with Henry Cavill.
That one's okay. So. It's not as bad as Batman versus Superman. What else did I watch? The new Jason Bourne. Which was okay. It's funny, I don't really have anything like notable to say about it other than it was okay. And I went to a drive-in while I was out west, and one of the movies was Bad Moms.
Oh.
And it's probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh no.
It's like, starts out with this woman who is like doing everything for her kids, and it's like, you know, stereotypical dad works from home but doesn't take care of the kids at all, so she's doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like finds out that he's cheating on her, and she dumps him, and then she realizes like, I've been doing all of this by myself anyway. And then she gets fed up with it at some point and decides to just not do all the things she's been doing. So she like says to her kids, you can make your own breakfast and lunches, which they are like teenagers, so they should have been doing that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets into like this weird, like, they're like, it feels like they're like swearing just for the sake of putting in a few like F-bombs into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like moms versus moms. Like, none of the husbands are ever present. And it's like, the dads don't do anything, and they're just not even there.
Oh.
God, it's just like, I remember like watching it, and I almost wanted to leave, but we had paid for like three movies, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah. but it was just so bad. Like really sexist too, to like men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there being some controversy before it even came out that there was like a joke at the expense of trans people. And I think they changed the wording of it a little bit, but it's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. And it was just like this terrible, like, super caricature of like these like super moms. But yeah, I just like, I can't even like put into words how bad it was. It was so terrible. Gosh, yeah, no, it was awful. And then I watched a different kind of movie, but like, I think they were made around the same time, called The Intern, which is with Anne Hathaway and I forget his name now.
Oh yeah, I know what movie you're talking about.
Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Is that who that? Yeah, okay.
Is it?
Which was actually really cute. It ended up being better than I thought it was going to be. So that was really nice.
Yeah, I remember seeing the ads for that one. It looked nice.
Yeah. the whole way through the movie, I was like, I swear to God, because he's like, you know, supposed to be a senior that's enrolled in this like senior intern program. And I was like, I swear to God, if he like dies or something, I'm going to be so upset. But he didn't.
That's good.
Which is good. But yeah, it was really cool. Like, he's like coming into this completely like digital company, like run by, I guess, like millennials, which is kind of the stereotype that they're going for. And he like kind of brings it a little further away from like not being super digital and being a little more personal and like being able to give his business experience tips and stuff to the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a good one. And I watched Love and Friendship, which is based on Jane Austen's Lady Susan, which I had never heard about at all. And I'm not super familiar with Jane Austen to begin with.
Yeah, me neither.
But it's got Kate Beckinsale in it, and mm-hmm. she's Lady Susan. And it was interesting because it's about a woman who, like, I guess manipulates, maybe, or she just knows how to push to get what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
But she, like, set up this marriage for herself and then sets up all of these different ways that her and her daughter can be comfortable. And it was interesting, like, seeing a woman from that time period, like, take control of her own life and be privy to the conversations that were happening, like, behind her back that she didn't get to see, mm-hmm. where people were saying, you know, you have to watch out for her because she's, you know, like a snake type character, and all these people act, like, really friendly to her face, and she's, like, really smart and kind of able to, like, set herself up for comfort in all these different ways just by using, like, her wiles, I guess, is the best way to say it. But yeah, that was pretty enjoyable. And, like, the costuming in that movie was really nice. Like old, like, period costumes, and yeah. It was just lovely. And then, it's not really, like, watching on screen, but I was invited to go with Sarah, who we had on the last episode, to the League of Legends North American Finals in Toronto at the Air Canada Centre.
Oh.
And I don't, like, super know a lot about League of Legends, but I play Heroes of the Storm, so I kind of understand, like, the MOBA mm-hmm. stuff that was happening. It was really cool. And it was, like, the whole arena was, like, completely packed, and they had the teams kind of sitting in the center and these big, huge screens so you could see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, every time, like, an objective got claimed in the game, like, the whole arena would, like, light up with whatever team's color
oh, wow.
got it. So, like, they would get... like one of the dragons, and they would get like a buff. You get a buff from the dragon, and mm-hmm. so it would light up like red when the one team got it, and then the next like game the other team got it and it lit up blue. And it had like the casters were all there, and like so many like people dressed up in team jerseys and like even cosplay. Mm-hmm. And, like, having all of the people around, like, around me, like, know what was going on and get, like, super excited. There was, like, cheering and, like screaming. And people were, like, yelling, like, the players' names and stuff. And, like, every time something really good happened, like, people would be, like, screaming so loud, like, up out of their seats. Like, it was like watching, like a you know, traditional sports event.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, have it be esports. So... yeah, it was really cool, and I wish I understood a little more about what was going on, but yeah, like, it was really, really cool, and I hope they bring, like, more esports stuff to Toronto, because I feel like that's kind of a market that hasn't really been tapped yet.
Right.
Like, the Toronto area for professional game tournaments. Like, I would love to see more stuff that I knew about.
Yeah.
Like, that I was a little more familiar with.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see, like, Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah, it's so funny that, like, the last time I've seen Blizzard officially anywhere in Toronto was, like, Fan Expo 4 or 5 years ago. And they had, like, a booth with World of Warcraft, and that was it, because at the time that's all they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen any, like, official Blizzard events here since then.
Hmm.
And it seems like they're a big enough company that they could do it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But it'd be nice to see, like, yeah, Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch. I feel like Overwatch would be huge here. But, yeah, I hope they bring more esports stuff north of the border, because I liked it, and I would like to see more stuff that I knew more about. But, yeah, I've watched a lot of stuff. Too much stuff.
Too much.
Yeah. Have you read anything interesting lately?
Yeah, I finally finished Console Wars, which I really liked. I was looking forward to the end, because though the book was mainly about Sega and Nintendo, it got into the period where the PS1 was going to be coming out, so I was really hoping that we'd see some of that, because sort of throughout the book you learn about how Nintendo had wanted to partner with PlayStation to make a new disc-based system, and then they just sort of blindsided them and partnered with someone else instead. And then Sega was trying to partner with them, and then they could never work out a deal, so finally PlayStation, you know, made their own thing, and which ended up outselling like the Sega Saturn 10-1 and the Nintendo 64 by like 3-1. So I was hoping that there would be a thing at the end where like PlayStation's just like, boom, take this. And there sort of was. I even talked about it on Twitter, and the author responded to me. He's like, yeah, you get that. But it was really cool to sort of read about how it happened, because Sega sort of got screwed over by releasing their Sega Saturn early, like earlier than it was supposed to be, before even there were like 10 games ready for it. So they released way too early, and I think they were planning to be sold for $3.99 or $2.99. I forget what it was. But $3.99. So then when PlayStation announced their thing, this like the marketing guy had this keynote speech, and he just like came in and he was like $2.99, and then he walked off the stage. So I would have liked to hear a little bit more about PlayStation, just because of the three, that's sort of my favorite company for consoles. But it was good. I enjoyed reading the book. I thought it was kind of really highlighted the differences between like Sega of America and Sega of Japan, and just how business is done so differently between the two places, and how it sometimes caused problems sort of internally. So it was definitely really interesting. And then I also started reading Oryx and Crake, which is by Margaret Atwood. I've been trying to read more of her. I think this is my third book that I've read by her, because I went the longest time not reading any of her books. I worked at Chapters for like 5 years, and in that whole time, I never picked up a Margaret Atwood book. So I've been trying to catch up on them, because they have like all the things I'm interested in. They tend to be sort of dystopic. They tend to be quite feminist. So Oryx and Crake is about, it hasn't totally said what's happened yet at the part that I'm in, but it's sort of post-apocalyptic. It's talking about how before something happened, there was all these like genetic modifications, and all these companies were like exploring like using pigs to grow extra organs for people and things like that. So it's probably some sort of biological catastrophe that happened to sort of end civilization as we know it, but it's pretty good. I'm looking forward to finishing that one.
Cool.
And what have you been reading?
I picked up Room for the plane ride.
That was a movie, right?
Yeah, it got made into a movie. And I am probably, I want to watch the movie to see what the differences are. So I'm interested in how they would do that, because most of the book takes place in, like, literally a shed. Like one room, and it's about this like a woman that gets kidnapped when she's really young, has a kid, and then the story is told from the little boy's perspective. Felt like it started out really slow, and then like something clicked in the book and it just like kind of took off, and everything was really fast. And I don't know if I liked the perspective of the boy as like the narrative choice. Like I can see why that would be like a unique way to tell the story,
right?
But it was just, it's like sometimes it was hard to read just because I was like, oh gosh, can I skip this part? I don't know. But it like it wasn't bad. It was just like an interesting book. But yeah, I'm really interested to see how they did the movie, like making a room seem like maybe not big enough, but to be able to tell the story visually in one room would be really interesting. So yeah, I'll probably pick that up. And then at the recommendation of, I think it was Wox on Twitter, I picked up Nice Dragons Finish Last. And so far it's really good. It's like, kind of like young adult type story, where like it's the world after a magical catastrophe hit, and like everybody has some kind of magic now, So there's like magic in everything, and it's like just a just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about halfway through it, and I'm really enjoying it. Like shape-shifting dragons, and like they can have like a people form and a dragon form, and yeah, it's really cool. And then I picked up Girl on the Train to read, which is sitting on my nightstand, which I haven't read it at all yet, but I am planning on reading it because the trailer for the movie looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like debating if I want to watch the movie first or watch or read the book.
Oh,
it's hard. Like, I usually am more of like a the book is better than the movie person, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I read the book last year. It was pretty good. I really liked it, although I don't remember how it ended, so I feel like I can watch the movie and be surprised.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading it. It's funny because like being away from the computer for 2 weeks like made me go look for other things to do and made me realize how much I love reading, and I just haven't done a lot of it lately.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to read a little bit more.
Yeah, I find I use the site Goodreads, and every year they have like a reading challenge, so you can set, you know, your goal amount of books for the year, and I find that's helpful.
That's a good idea. Yeah, maybe I should look into doing that and like actually read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to read a lot more when I was commuting, and now it's just like all podcasts. Yeah. So.
Speaking of podcasts,
mm-hmm.
have you listened to anything interesting lately?
I have. I listened to Tavit and Yusuf's Gaming Hour, which is it's a podcast about gaming, obviously, and it doesn't have a particular schedule. It's sort of just whenever they have time to make an episode, and they usually focus on one specific game. So the last one they released was about Inside, which I sort of mentioned, an episode or two ago. And my amazing critical analysis was, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it was fun. So Tavit and Yusuf had much better analysis of the game, and they went into sort of all these theories about what the game stood for. One of them was talking about like the concept of the Ubermensch and like superhumans, and another one which I sort of bought into the most was talking about how it's a metaphor for humans like as a commodity. And it was really good. They just like brought in all this sort of related material and like historical evidence and things like that to sort of compare the events of the game with real life stuff to sort of back up their arguments about what it was about. And it was really, really enjoyable and made me feel like I missed everything.
But that's why you have those.
Exactly.
To listen to.
Yep.
You didn't miss it. It's just... Well, maybe you did miss it. I don't
know. How about you? Have you been listening to podcasts?
Yeah. So I started listening to The Adventure Zone, which is an actual play D&D podcast. And it's done by the McElroy brothers, who also do My Brother and Me.
Mm-hmm.
And they play D&D with their dad. And really the reason that I'm getting into it is because, I'm in a Discord channel with a bunch of people who are all watching it and so, or not watching it, but they're all listening to it. So it's like, whenever they start talking about it, I'm like, man, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm kind of like listening to it to actually like know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also actually really good. Like, it's really funny, and from what I've gathered through what people have been telling me, the arcs after the one that I'm listening to are even better. So I'm really enjoying that. And it's like, I don't know, and they play with actual dice, so you can hear, like, the dice rolls in the background.
Oh, that's cool.
And, like, every single one of them are hilarious. Like, they're a hilarious person, so... It's like they do voices and stuff for their characters, and yeah, it's been really good.
So are they, like, they're all in the same room?
I don't think so. Okay. I think Well, they like Skype in to each other. At least that's what I think, because they can't see the dice rolls. Like,
right.
At one point, the DM, I think it's Griffin, he was like, well, I'm going to trust you that you're telling me that you just rolled a natural 20 because I can't see it. So I'm pretty sure they Skype in.
All right.
But yeah, it's been really good so far. And like anything with D&D, I'm like, you know, let me hear about it.
Well, that's cool. Are you still watching all of the...
Critical Role?
Yeah, Critical Role.
Yes. They went on like a break this week because they're like half of the people that are on the show went to Burning Man.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a little bit of a break there. But yeah, Critical Role is still going, and it feels like they're kind of coming to like a big climax of their show. So I'm interested to see how that's going to be handled, because I don't know. Like, I feel like they've been doing it for so long and people have been so attached to their characters that, like, what's going to happen if they say, oh, no, this is the end of the story arc for these characters. We're going to roll new ones and do a different story. Like, I don't know. But also it's exciting because, like, a whole brand new thing starting would be less intimidating to get more people into than watching, like, 66 3-hour episodes of them. Actually, there's another one I've been watching that I don't know if I've mentioned before. Experience Points.
Okay.
Right now they're releasing, I think, the 10th episode today, and they're only 20 minutes long. They're edited and cut in a way that these 10 episodes are one night, like one session of D&D. So like the first episode is like them all getting together and sitting down at the table and getting started, and then it goes through, and it's actually pretty good. I was like worried that trying to fit in like a 4-hour night of D&D, and I think that's being underestimating the time it would take to play sometimes. Fitting in a session in these small chunks actually works out really well, and it's easy to watch. Like, they're not very long, so you can just pick up one at a time or watch a bunch of them all at once. And it's actually really cool. Like, the storyline so far is really neat, and the people playing, they're actors playing characters playing characters, which is kind of interesting. It's directed really well, and the storyline, I don't know if they like, if the DM himself actually made it up for the like video that they're doing, or if it's like something they thought of altogether, but it's actually pretty good. So
that's cool. I like the idea of a highly edited experience. Yes.
It's super, yeah, super edited, and like pretty easy to get started on, I think. So that kind of wraps up what we've been up to, and we got a lot of listener questions. So we're going to get right into them. The first one that we have is one that's been on our notes for a long time. We just haven't had a good point to jump in and talk about it. So it's from Musty Hobbit on Twitter, and they ask, your thoughts on games being released unfinished, then trickle of content to follow as free or paid DLC. And I think Overwatch is probably the most current example of that, where they're releasing content after, but it's free, except for the Summer Games, which was, you had to buy the loot boxes with actual money if you wanted more. I feel like I would rather have a game be completely finished than wait for DLC.
Yeah. I think it depends on the game. Like, personally, for Overwatch specifically, I'm okay with it now, especially since it's basically a multiplayer only game. I think it's totally fine that they just add some content every few months or so, just to sort of keep things a little bit fresh. But in terms of sort of the single player games, it does kind of suck. I mean, I feel like it's just sort of how things are done now. But if I'm really excited about a game and I want to buy it on day one, then I play it and I finish it. So if an extra content or expansion or DLC comes out 4 to 6 months later, it usually doesn't do me any good. because I've finished the game and I probably don't want to go back to it so soon. So I feel like, at least main story-wise, I hope everything is already in the game before I start playing it, because, you know, you never know where you're going to be or if you're still going to want to play that game that far down the line.
I was thinking of, like, Fallout, where they've released, like, a couple new things now, and, like, if you had some, like, Seasons Pass or whatever that you bought, at one point it was, like, cheaper, and you would get the content with that, like, one lump sum, and now I think it's a lot more expensive, but I think you still get all that content, you just pay more for it. Yeah, I think, like, if it's extra stuff that doesn't deal with the story at all, that's fine. But if they're releasing, like, kind of, like, feels like a little bit like Telltale, where they release one episode at a time.
Right.
And you're waiting for the rest of the story to come out. But that's kind of like a whole other, like, genre on its own.
Yeah, that's true. I think another problem that I have, especially with games like Fallout or even The Witcher or something, like, there's so much extra content that comes out, and a lot of the time I'll go and I'll buy it, and then I'll sort of start working my way through all this stuff, and then I'll just totally burn myself out and then not even really want to finish the game because I'm just kind of sick of it after, like, six DLCs or whatever it adds to it. So generally I prefer when games do DLC. I mean, I know people, companies want to make as much money as they can, so I prefer DLC to be sort of aesthetic stuff that I don't really care about rather than actual story content.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
So our next question comes from Cartridge Brothers on Twitter, who asks, where do you go for the majority of your gaming, TV, and movie news?
Twitter.
Yeah, I do get a fair bit on Twitter because that's sort of like an amalgamation of everything. The bigger sites that I tend to read are Polygon and Kotaku for gaming and movie news. I also, like, I still use my feed reader a ton. Like, I subscribe to a lot of sites and blogs and things. The Mary Sue is another one where I tend to get more sort of movie news. Yeah, but I get it sort of from everywhere, but I guess Polygon is the one that I really go to quite a bit. And now Vice Gaming just has a new a new gaming section with some really, really good writers in it, so I've started following that one as well.
Our next question is from MTO All Pro. If you could learn one non-contemporary style of dance, what would it be and why?
Huh. Going a little bit of a different direction.
Yeah.
I would say tango. I don't know. One of the Latin ones, probably. Just, yeah. It seems like a cool partner dance. Pretty sexy.
Yeah. I would choose hip hop. Because as it is, I pretty much have no rhythm. So I need somebody to, like... I need, like, one of the, like, a, you know, somebody to plug in, like, here's how to dance.
Yeah.
And not look like an idiot.
All right. And the next question is also from MTO All Pro, who asks, if you could live in one game world, what would it be and why? I was thinking of all these worlds, and I was thinking about how most of them have some terrible things happening, and you need to save it. But then I thought, like, our world... is like that too.
It's also so terrible.
So it can't be any worse. So I would say Mass Effect. Hopefully, not during the Reaper invasion, but like some other time in Mass Effect, because I could travel through space and have sex with aliens.
Priorities.
Yes.
Yeah, Mass Effect would be cool. Yeah, I feel like any like really futuristic one would be good. At first I was thinking Dragon Age, actually, because that'd be cool. Like, medieval stuff, super, super is my jam, so... But then you said Mass Effect, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I thought of Dragon Age, too, but it's, like... I don't know. Medieval, like, people don't have good lives.
No. Yeah. No, they don't. I feel like kind of a cop-out taking the same answer, but yeah, Mass Effect would be totally sweet. And then maybe you could have, like, biotics and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The next one is from Wox Tweets on Twitter. Have you ever made a recipe or dish to match a video game theme?
No. I've, like, seen blogs and things where people remake, like, the WoW food dishes. Yeah. But I have never done it myself.
I haven't done it for a specific recipe, like, in a game, but I did. When WildStar came out, I was in a guild called Chili and Cornbread. And for launch night, I made chili and cornbread.
Oh.
And, like, a bunch of people in the guild were planning on making, like, some kind of chili or something for launch night, so I haven't made, like, an actual in-game recipe, but I did, like, make one for a game launch, which I think is pretty close.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't think I've done it for a game. I'm trying to think. Like, when Season 4 of Arrested Development came out, my friends and I made frozen bananas. But no game things, I don't think. So the next question comes from Nintendo, also on Twitter. What game soundtrack makes you want to drop everything, ignore all adult responsibilities, and go play the game again?
This is an easy answer. Mass Effect. Mass Effect. The soundtrack is so good.
Yeah. Ugh. That is a good one. For me, there's two. The first one is Bastion, just because that's, like, my favorite game soundtrack ever. Although sometimes, like, I really like the game as well, but sometimes it just makes me want to listen to the soundtrack and drive around in my car. And then the second one is Star Tropics, which just has this really sort of nostalgic theme music that makes me want to play it.
Actually, I was thinking of, there's another one. I don't know if you've ever played it, but it's called Hohokam.
No, I haven't played that one.
And it's, like, there's objectives and stuff, but there's no, like, text in the game. And you play, like, this weird, like, squiggly, like, worm guy, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And the music in it is fantastic. And, like, any time that it comes on, either through, like on a playlist or something that I've made, I'm like, I know exactly what game that's from, and I want to go play it now. Yeah, it's really cute. And, like, the way that it's designed is really nice. Like, it's aesthetically pleasing to look at.
Huh.
Our second last question comes from Can't Stop Drew, and they ask, you're in a room with two games. One of them is a single player and the other is co-op. What are they and how long before you're sick of them? Is this like end of the world scenario?
Maybe. Or like desert island scenario? Or
Yeah. I think that might be the best way to go about it. Otherwise, it's like there's too many.
Yeah,
yeah, I feel like all my answers are going to be Mass Effect because I am unoriginal and can't think of anything else. Yeah, probably Mass Effect for the single player one.
Mm-hmm.
And co-op, I don't really play a lot of co-op games other than, like, you know, giant MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
Just swing back to that, maybe.
All right. I would say just go for something different. The single player would be Saints Row 4.
Oh.
I don't think I'd be sick of it. I think that game is a lot of fun, and I could probably play it for a long time. And then co-op, I'll say Jamestown Plus, which is a PS4. Co-op, shoot 'em up, which maybe I'd get sick of it after, like, a few days. But
for co-op, I can't get, like, Mario out of my head. So maybe, like, one of the Mario games. Like, the one where they're all in, like, the little suits.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the 3D one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that one. And getting sick of them. I prefer to play games by myself, so the co-op one, I imagine I would get sick of it pretty quickly.
Especially because you can, like, pick up the other characters and, like, throw them off ledges. Oh, yeah.
Definitely would get sick of that very quickly.
Okay, and our last question comes from a Latino lawyer, and he asks, do all the trolls, haters, weirdos, and their wonky comments, requests, and suggestions make you want to run away or stand up to them?
I feel like this is probably more of a question for you since you've gotten weird comments.
Yeah. You don't got any weird Twitter comments or anything?
Not lately. I mean, I got a couple weird ones a while ago, but I kind of just ignored them because I didn't want to engage. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm usually like, if it's behind a screen where I don't have to like see the person, then I'm more likely to like stand up to them and...
Yeah.
But if I can avoid it, I usually do.
Yeah, I generally, those comments make me want to stand up to them, whether it's by, like, making fun of them on a video or posting their comment on Twitter. A lot of the time, like, if they're really shitty comments, they make me feel super superior. It's like, you are a shitty person and I am less of a shitty person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes me want to stand up to them and it makes me not... want to be quiet, I guess. Honestly, the comments, like the like really shitty, just plain out harassment comments, those are pretty easy for me to shrug off. The comments that actually get to me are just like weird things. Like I'll make a video and I'll be like, oh, this game was really hard. And someone will be like, it's not that hard. It's like, oh, ugh. Okay. Congratulations, you didn't find it hard. Thanks.
Yeah, I really. Oh, I guess my experience was wrong. Yes. So you're obviously correct.
Yeah.
My mistake. Yeah. I mean, in general, like, seeing other people get hit by, like, shitty comments and stuff like that makes me want to do more so that there is not just, like, for example, women on Twitter get harassed all the time. So, for, like, making content and just... being there.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that makes me a little afraid, but b, it makes me want to do more so that there are more people who are visible that are either women or like minorities, so that, you know, more people are out there, so it's not just getting focused on one person. So it's more like we're here and there's not really a lot you can do about it because
mm-hmm.
we're going to be here for a while, and we've been here for a while, so.
Yeah. I feel that the same way about that kind of stuff on YouTube, because, I mean, in gaming and, like, retro gaming specifically, it's definitely a lot more visible mm-hmm. men doing it. So, like, yeah. Being a visible woman, like, I want to be more visible and, like, other women to see me and be like, hey, maybe I want to do that too. Like,
mm-hmm. Exactly. That's how we got into podcasting.
So. Exactly.
We saw women doing it and we wanted to do it too. Representation is important. Yep. But yeah, I think that's it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you everybody for your comments and or not comments, but questions. We always like getting them and answering them. So mm-hmm. they're very much appreciated.
And it feels good that people ask us so many.
It does. Yeah. Just don't send us shitty questions.
Yeah.
And by shitty questions, I mean, like, don't do what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So if you want to send us more questions, either on Twitter or otherwise, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at Josyla _, and I'm on YouTube, Cannot Be Tamed.
And then you can find me at... on Twitter, at Kaleri, that's K-L-E-R-I with an _. And if you've got any feedback, questions, people, or topics you'd like to hear on future episodes of the show, you can reach out to us at MediaMavensCast@gmail.com or contact us on Twitter at _MediaMavens. And if you like the show, please leave us some reviews on iTunes or Stitcher. And that's it for this week. See you next time.